5, 4, 3, 2. Hello and welcome back to this podcast. Two substitutes. We have been away for a long, long time, maybe a year or longer, but we are back only to be away again after this one, I'm guessing. I'm joined by the regular, Mr. Akshay.
Hello, Warren. It's been a long, long time. I think the last one we did was during mid-season last season.
Yeah.
I think last season we only did two podcasts. So.
Yeah. I don't know if we managed to do the end of the season also. I don't think we did.
No.
Yes. You know what happened? Life happened.
Yeah. Well, life on, but yeah, yes. Hopefully this season we can beat our last season's record.
Yes.
At least.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I am actually having been away for so long, I felt a little more excitement to do this one.
It's just nice.
Starts like something, or sounds like something fresh this time. I don't know how it is for you.
Me, yeah, it's the same. I think it's definitely good to talk about football, and since we were not doing the podcast,
yeah,
I mean, we are still in the news, but I think it's nice to just with someone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So lots of things happening. Let's get into it. I think our main focus, as usual, would be the Premier League. And of course, there's one big news I think we should start with. Something happened in the world of football. There's a guy called Lionel Messi. I think something changed in his footballing career. The whole football world was shook with this news. He's moving to PSG. I think yesterday he had his inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
It still feels very strange. What's your opinion about that?
Yeah, it's strange for me too. And last season he did give us a glimpse of
he might
leave Barcelona, so that idea at least like as shocking. So if this had happened last season, be more surprised. But this time I think it was surprising because it looked like he was going to sign a new contract with Barcelona, and things fell off. On the day when he was supposed to sign, and there are conspiracy theories and other sort of like opposing things coming out from the media about like what had actually. I think to sum it up, it was always difficult for Barcelona to re-sign him, and there are laws that will prevent him, even though he takes like a 50% pay. I think he was willing to take pay cut to sign a new contract, but he couldn't be like he play for Barcelona for like, so they could only offer him like 50% minimum he can go. You cannot like than that as per the La Liga rules. So.
Oh, but you think he was willing to take even low? I think even 50% is. Of his salary is apart for many other footballers, so there's a big structural divide in like between him and like other teams. Also, I was reading that Barcelona were basically asking or other clubs in La Liga to like compensate them basically, which is very it's not fair to other teams, right? I think we knew this was like Barcelona are in trouble. I think everyone knew that because of even Real Madrid, I think, are in trouble. But somehow, I think they don't have as much wages. Like,
yeah, I think for Barcelona, he failed signings and too many players on wages that resulted into this situation, because they anyway, whose pay was like through the roof, then other footballers, and you have players like signed for more money. Coutinho signed even like 100 million. You have Griezmann, players that they have on big, and the revenue with the pandemic or after the pandemic was dropping down. So
yeah,
I think it was apparent that they will not be able to retain all of their players
imagine if COVID had not happened. Like, now you are finding out the like discrepancies in the system they have.
Mm-hmm.
If COVID had not happened, they would have continued with this and no one would have noticed, I feel like.
Yeah, this is, I think clubs are getting exposed with their financial model.
Yeah.
And also these gigantic salaries that they pay to
exactly
players, and if they can't make the revenue from their games and other like club related income, then to survive. And I think effects of that are visible in this market, and I think Messi's is like pretty full of what clubs are going through at the moment.
Yeah, I know people talk about like the food, the money in sport also on Premier League especially, but I feel like in terms of comparing it to Barcelona and the wage structure is pretty good even for teams like Man City. Like, I don't think they have like anyone over 300k or something, and they try to follow. I know they are sometimes also to blame for some of the money spending and stuff, like Chelsea, even Manchester United have been spending a lot, but overall wage structure I feel like it's well maintained in Premier League.
And I think also like Premier League has to work with, so that also helps.
Yeah.
Not the same situation in other leagues where TV money is like, it's not even like their Premier League clubs are getting for just for having TV rights.
Exactly. Yeah. But even with that, it's still maintained well. Like, even if they have lots of money. Like, PSG has lots of money, but it's just PSG in that league. Like, other clubs
do. Right.
But I feel like there's a authority that's looking, even though there are other things that's wrong with them. Like, but...
And also, like, I think average player salaries are in the Premier League than other leagues too. So, there are a few players in, like, other leagues that are on astronomical wages, but... not at the same level, and just the average that a player gets. And that's also a reason like why Premier League can't sell their players anymore.
Like, or they go for
to take pay cut.
That's true. Yeah, even like, I mean, even Messi couldn't go to Premier League because of his wage, right? He didn't want to take as much of a even though he's Messi, but still like, it still feels like weird. I think only PSG could afford him, and I don't know if they could. I don't know the financial fair play. I don't understand. It's pretty.
Yeah, and the fact also is like here in this case, it's a free transfer, so you could argue that you can justify like more salary for if you're not spending. Like any money
not
on like, your on your payroll, I guess.
So wait, let me look at the wage. Like, I'm his wage would have been the same as some players' transfer money.
I think he's earning like 30 or 40 million just through his salary.
70 million euros I just saw, so yeah. I mean, yeah. What can you say? At least, yeah, taking all of the money things, I am excited to see him play alongside Mbappe and Neymar. Those front three look, that front three is very deadly, or look exciting at least.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how like PSG lines up this season. I imagine like it's going to be Messi, Mbappe as their striker and Neymar on the left, but you could also like put
Messi in
wings
the
and Messi in the center as a false nine or something. So yeah, they have combinations now to work with, because Mbappe can play center as well as on the wings, and same with Messi, he can play, he can even play as a cam. So
they have very strange transfer window for Paris. Like, they have signed almost all of their players on a free transfer. So Donnarumma is free, Hakimi free. Maybe Hakimi.
No, Hakimi is not. Ramos.
Ramos
might
is free.
Be.
Messi free. Yeah. Free. I say free. But yeah, another exciting thing would be to watch Ramos and Messi in the same team. They have been.
Yeah, another thing to see this season.
But money changes everything, you know, like money can bring enemies together.
I think, I mean, yeah, if you play for the same team, I think on terms quite easily. And when they were in Spain, it's just the rivalry that for them to like be friends on the pitch appear as if they are friends. So there's natural rivalry because of where clubs they were representing. So now that they are playing for the same club, then I think it should all be good.
Yeah, and there was also the Catalonia Spanish thing between Barca, like Osasuna and Real Madrid players, like PK and Ramos. I think us will never be on good terms because of that. Very strange, but let's see. Their manager is also Argentinian, so Messi and the manager can talk.
Yeah, it also was a big part in him deciding to play for.
Oh, did he say that?
Yeah, he did say like having an Argentine is good, and that affect me in that decision. And there was also Neymar, who is with Messi. So these two factors were like the deciding factors, I guess. Any other club would have been able to match what PSG is giving him. Only Man City, but he had just signed Grealish, and they're looking at if they had not made their move for Grealish, chance. But
I still don't think, because unlikely. Of the wage, I don't think they would have moved for Messi even if Grealish wasn't signed. Plus, they.
Yeah, if you leave out Man City, we're saying something. Man City.
No, I was saying plus they have like they'll have to have sold some players to get Messi. I think.
Yeah.
Like Mahrez or someone that quality. Like that.
Yeah, Bernardo Silva is.
Do you want Bernardo Silva?
I mean, I'll take him at Arsenal. Yeah. There are a lot of players that can increase the quality we already have. So, yeah.
good. I think we are already talking about Premier League now, so it's good to move on to that topic. But before that, I just checked that Chelsea won the Super Cup. So, congratulations.
Yeah, I think himself a bit in the penalty shootout.
I'll be honest, I shut down as soon as the penalty started. It makes me too nervous. my head was not in the right place. I got frustrated because we started playing not as good of football as we were playing in the first half, and then Hakim Ziyech got injured, which affected us a lot. I think he was playing really well, so he'll not be playing like first few games of the season, which is sad for him.
Oh, we're always sad to see that.
Yeah.
Especially for the start, like if they get injured, like of games,
exactly,
doesn't look at bad. But
this is just before the Premier League starting.
Yeah.
And he was in good nick also in the preseason. Like, feel bad for him.
Same pain with Partey not being available.
Yeah,
first
Partey.
Three games, so like
I think he's been out of the club more than in the pitch. Like,
the pitch. I think we brought him on sooner, like when we had a game against Spurs last season, and we expected his recovery, and we had to sub him off after. Or something.
I remember that match. I think when Arteta was trying to ask, I was shouting at him to get back, and he was injured.
Yeah, there was I think Arteta made a mock in that situation, and also like he like brought him too quickly.
Yeah,
to like be out even for longer duration.
Yeah,
so I think now maybe they have learned their lesson. They'll not bring him on just for sake of bringing and expected. So, but yeah, like he has shown glimpses of what he can do, like done that for a consistent period of time.
Sometimes I feel so privileged to have, everyone should feel privileged if you have a player like Kante in your team. Like, he has been on fire since last
year.
He just stops. I don't know what he's made of, man. He just stops everything, like, intercepts everything, and then his passing is also like not that bad. He's really good like at getting like close passes, even if.
Yeah, he was. He was especially amazing in the Champions League.
So he is my pick for Ballon d'Or. I don't want Messi. I want Kante to win. These players never win, man.
Okay.
But yeah, I think you started with Arsenal. What I was thinking is we can just talk about your team, Arsenal, and then Chelsea for a bit, and then give our predictions for the Premier League in the coming season. So.
Yeah, for us, I think I'm usually like very optimistic at the beginning of the season. I always think that we can achieve, and like, you know, we can maybe like win the league. That's kind of the optimism I have, just because, like, you know, it's like for to expect, but this season it's like I'm actually off starting the new season just because of our transfer window and what we had seen in the last few seasons and preseason that we had. So I think that Arsenal from the transfer and huge money on. I'm excited about having like a proven Premier who is it's like developing stage, and we did pay, I think we overpaid for him, but I think he's still like good quality center back, and he becomes our like best. So I don't have any problems. There are other areas that we need to strengthen and we haven't yet.
So yeah,
that's my concern, especially in the central midfield with Partey being out now, and we don't have we're like giving new contract to Danny Chan. We have Elneny.
Elneny, okay.
And Albert Stambi Lokonga that we signed from Anderlecht. He's a young 21-year-old. There is more sort of like a CM.
Will he there. Be getting chances? Like the
I think he will be starting alongside Xhaka now that Partey is injured.
Okay.
And yeah, Elneny is good, but like he has already reached his ceiling, and Stambi Lokonga has played in the preseason games and has shown that could play in the Premier League as well. So we'll see him starting alongside Xhaka for the first game. But still, like, it does not fill me with confidence, just because for him he's still a young player and playing in the Premier League, and it's always hard for players to
too much from him, especially coming to Premier League.
Right. And then for central attacking midfield, we gave contract to Emil Smith Rowe, which I'm very happy about. And
Joe Willock is still with you, right?
Joe Willock is still with us, but I think when Newcastle transfer is a.
I'm happy actually. I think Newcastle suits him.
I think it's a good transfer for him. I don't think like he was in Arteta's plans anyway. A midfielder like him who can score goals from the box or from the midfield, we definitely lack that. I don't think like Arteta had him as first choice 11 player, so it's good that we sell him, and he's also the only player that we can sell. Players like we're not able to move on. He's young, he's English, he's homegrown, and he scored 7 goals in 7 games. and break the Premier League record last season. So I'm not surprised that they're willing to pay 25 million for him. Happy to take money for because we're not able to sell pretty much any other season. So that's good for him. But central attacking midfield, we still need like one player because right now we only who can play as an attacking midfielder. Yeah. There are rumors of James Maddison and Odegaard that we're looking at, but nothing has. We have this like central attacking midfield problem. Depth in central midfield positions. Defensively, we still need a new right back. Situation is sort of like we don't have a backup goalkeeper. So there's that. So there's just so many issues, and Aubameyang is not firing on all cylinders. We gave him like a big contract last season. Is someone that we're not able to sell, and for striking, striking positions, it's also weird because we have both of us above 30 now, and next in the line is Balogun, who is like a.
Nketiah.
We're planning to sell. He's on the books, but I think we're not able to sell him, so not in like plans, but we'll see. So it's sold for some money this season, and then we also need a new striker. So if you think about it, we need like a like that middle age, like between 25, who can start games. Aubameyang or Lacazette, Zinger. So issues all over the pitch.
But also, yeah, it's hard to find strikers, especially these.
Yeah.
Even Chelsea like was struggling. For us, there were only two options we could go for. If you want a good top striker, it's either Haaland or Lukaku now.
But right.
There is not many. There are not many options for us.
Right.
Strikers.
Yeah.
It's a very premium position.
And it's also the position that season the most, like, you know, if you consider like you know, you're a striker taking half a chance, or
you could
create something from nothing, and so we lack that. And Aubameyang has not have a good last season, and even during the preseason, so I'm worried about central midfield position. Attacking position, if Smith Rowe is injured, then we don't have anyone.
Yeah.
Like goalkeeper, it's like we literally have like no one. That definitely needs a new person there. There is a lot to do, but things that will be, I think, Emil Smith Rowe and Pepe, who ended season pretty strongly, so I want him to pick up where he left off last season and really show he's like. He's good enough to Arsenal and like show his transfer's worth. He needs to show his transfer worth, and he's a good player, but I think anyone will agree that we overpaid for him as well. So yeah, we paid 72 million.
I
and
remembered, I forgot that you paid a lot for him.
So yeah, so this is time for him to shine on the stage and take that.
Yeah,
like that finisher and who can consistently deliver every. And for other positions, I think Kieran Tierney would be someone I want to see more of. Hopefully, like he does well too. So, who had pretty good for us, and he was the only player at times who was. Something for us, and he's still young, so we are like the positive thing during this transfer window is that we are like putting all of our eggs into this like young player brigade. We signed like Tavares as a he's like 23, Ben White is 23, Bikonga is 21, Saka, they're both below 20, so it's good to see that we are investing in youth and not actually like money on players like Willian. It's nothing.
Are they No, I mean, there was a reason we sold them, so...
Yeah, I mean, but this thing, like, yeah, there's, like... I think we have learned that there's no point in going for who are, like... I mean, you could argue, you know, you were thinking, or we were thinking that time, maybe this is, like, a ready-made player that can start delivering from the get-go, or on as soon as we start playing, but... It never materialized that way and was not a good decision in hindsight, because you can't even like sell these kind of on, and when you sign them you're literally just like at the club until you retire pretty much, especially when you give them like a contract for 3 years or something. So I think we've learned our lessons in that department.
It's very strange to talk about Arsenal in this way. Like, they have really dropped off the income. Their quality and like position in the Premier League. But who knows? Maybe I'll give you. I could say a positive thing about you. Maybe they'll surprise you and finish in top four.
On the flip side, like we don't have European football. A good thing, and then we did. A decent form towards the end of last season, like since we had a pretty significant up. Hopefully that for the next season and through just for half the season. So not like make me the transfer and everything does not excite me as much. Maybe I'll be excited after seeing it, but usually I'll be very hyped season starts or before the season starts, and always think that we can do something magical this season.
It's already here, right? This week it's happening.
We have a game on Friday.
Who are you playing? Leeds? No. Milford,
A newly team, and seems like the perfect team start your season, and if you drop points then you know, like Arteta brigade out.
I mean, they are already I'm excited to see some of the I won't know the names, but
so that's where I'm at with our it's like a mediocre. I wouldn't say like they've done an excellent job, because we have not. That's like a problem all across
clubs
where they're not able to sell their average. And that's also like something bigger that's happening this season. You can only sell on players who have like that potential or a proven last season. You can't really sell players that are just average and playing. There's just really no market for them, and especially 29 years and above, it's really hard move on average players.
Like, we also, talking about Chelsea, we also struggled with selling players. Also, like players like Bakayoko, Drinkwater are still with us, and we tried hard to sell them, but it's not just that the other no one wants to buy them, but also that we are not okay with lowering the cost or taking a loss on them, which is like you are just stuck in a limbo there.
I think I've read that some clubs are holding on to their players just in the hope that next summer market will pick up. This season there will be fans in the stadium and more money to spend, because everyone is sort of like in this window with transfers, and some are hoping that maybe if they hold on to their players this season they can get more money for the same players. But it's really hard to like be on that bandwagon. You never know like how their current season will go and they play enough minutes or not, and their value might decrease if clubs don't want them this window. And if they don't get enough playing time to show anything for their new club, then I think it's going to be declining.
I hope that happens, because we have fought to Tuchel, Thomas Tuchel was also very vocal about that. He was saying, we have 42 players, I can't manage all of them. There is just too much for him. And in pre-season, I was a little frustrated because he had to give opportunities to all of those players. Their price go up or something, but even close to Premier League, like Bakayoko was playing just 2 matches ago, Drinkwater was playing, Barkley was playing. So let's talk about Chelsea, I guess. One good thing that came out of preseason was Trevor Chalobah. I think he has impressed Tuchel a lot. He even played today, like, from start to finish. So that says, because I was thinking he might be sent out on loan again, but based on today's game, it looks like Thomas has him in his plans also. It's good because we sold some of our young centre backs for good money. Like Mark Gay, he went to Crystal Palace. Fikayo Tomori was sold to AC Milan, so which was surprising. But now that I see Chalobah, I feel a little better. You cannot have like 5 or 6 centre backs anyway. So Chalobah could be a good backup to Christensen, Rudiger, and Thiago Silva, and Zuma. So, and in transfer business, I am now happy that we are getting Lukaku at least, but the price is still, I can't complain. It's too much for me, but I will say that. I love that Lukaku is coming back to the Bridge. So he maybe has some unfinished business, so hopefully he's got lots of goals for us.
Yeah, I think to see how his journey was.
Yeah,
and to finally complete that full circle started Chelsea was a big European club, and sad that he never really like played for Chelsea, but now he's coming with a big money move and a point to prove as well.
I think only one season at United was when he didn't perform, but I think overall in Premier League also, wherever he went, he has scored goals. For West Brom, he has scored. For Everton, he has scored. For England, I think he scored a lot of goals. So I hope, because we do create lots of chances, so at least with him in the squad, hopefully we can finish them also.
Yeah, I was watching this video on Lukaku, and he made like a good point there where, like, you know, Man U fans don't know as much, but the reason play style was different, and saying like United that time needed a striker who can also play well or like dribble well and has touch, because they did not have Bruno Fernandes that time to create chances, so they wanted like more. Like Aguero, for example, like who can actually like his feet and can score out of nothing, whereas Lukaku is more sort of like he's like a penalty box striker, or like he can get on the end of things and finish chances more
that,
so than.
I think his dribbling is underrated. I feel it's in the Euros. I think his dribbling is not bad. It's good.
I think like it's.
About Fernandes, you're right. I mean, so instead of selling Lukaku, I feel like they should have gone for a good midfielder that can.
Yeah, that can supply him or like, give him the service. Yeah. And yeah, Lukaku was always proven. I think even at United, when people were questioning, he was still scoring goals, right? Like he would. It's not like he was a total failure at United, but it's just that his play style didn't suit them at that point in time. And now, like, after that he went to Inter Milan and like did brilliantly over there and helped them win the league, and he was a big part of it, so I think no one will have any questions over that signing, just because he has a proven track record of scoring goals in the Premier League, and Chelsea, as you said, right, they do create chances, so on paper it seems like a very good fit, and I would not be surprised. Sorry, say that.
I was saying, plus I think he has that home feeling here. Maybe he'll feel like he's at home, and so he'll be extra motivated to perform, I feel like. Because I watched his interviews when he was a young player. He always said that he wanted to emulate Drogba, and there was a pick of him with Drogba. So Drogba admires him, so I like that.
Yeah. I was saying like in the reckoning for the Golden Boot this season for sure. And yeah, I think it's a good signing. And this market is like, it's weird where clubs have to pay over the odds for players they want, but at the same time you have this problem where like
there are no other
sell players. Yeah.
Also, so there it's are no other options for you, like.
Yeah, like, yeah, with Holland, like, are also asking, like, I think 170 million or 180 million. Just, like,
too much.
And for the type of striker that Chelsea were looking after, yeah, there are only, like, two options where when you want that world striker who can help you win the league. Yeah.
I think next season also, I know some people were saying that we could be in the market, but I don't think he's coming to Chelsea next season. I think either it's City, because they can afford him and they need a striker if they don't sign Kane this summer, or United also because of his connection with Ole in Norway when he was managing there.
Yeah. And it also, Mbappe goes next season, if he goes to Real Madrid, then like maybe PSG will come after him, or if Mbappe does not go to Real Madrid, then maybe Real Madrid will also be in the conversation for him next season.
Haaland goes to PSG and PSG will still not win the
Yeah, so, and with Chelsea, I think they're pretty less in the transfer market as well, pretty much similar to what they do, where they're pretty quick to act, quick to get their business done. So
I think with City signing Grealish, they got extra like motivated, maybe a kick in the backside because everyone was expecting them. Like, I still think this, they left it too late. I know transfers take time, and but still, like, if we had not signed anyone, like, it would have been really, would have been, I know we would have the quality maybe to go get top four, challenging City would have been really hard. People expect you to, especially after a good season, where you have won the Champions League. So
yeah, definitely. I think like perspective, they don't want to be slowing down, or they want to do like as much as possible to challenge for the title. And Timo Werner's transfer did not to plans from last season, and it'll be interesting to see.
He's improving his goal scoring, but at least there will be Lukaku hopefully to help out, because he has played well with another striker with him at Leipzig, like when Poulsen and Werner were together. So hopefully that works out for him.
With Lukaku too, like, he was in a two strikers at Inter Milan with Martinez, so
I know, I think he might have hijacked Spurs's. I know Arsenal was looking for it, but then Spurs moved in, and he got Lukaku, and that's why Spurs couldn't get Martinez. I think so. I'm happy about
it. Like, other narrative with transfers, as always, like, you know, one can spark a lot of others, or can stop from other deals happening. You know, few deals might not happen if something goes through. And I think in Lukaku's case, now Inter Milan wouldn't be selling Martinez. Some club goes with a ridiculous. And also, like, that clubs need money. So in this market, I think they're willing to sell if clubs are willing to pay a little bit more
extra.
All
right, so that was our team, but let's move on to our predictions then for the Premier League top four. I don't want to do relegation.
Right. With top four, I think everyone knows who the top four clubs would be. I think it's just a matter of I think ordering is more of a thing than like who the top four clubs will be. Very sad to say that, but that's the reality right now.
Who knows? Maybe I'll put Arsenal in top four. No, I'm not. But okay, yeah. You go first. Okay, let's do like. Like you do the first position and then I'll do and then you do second. Then let's go to back and forth.
Okay,
so
cool. Yeah.
Both of us have the same.
For winning the league, I think it's going to be Man City. They're already a good team and strengthening even further. And with signing of Grealish, they have a capable backup for like Kevin De Bruyne if he gets injured, because I think every season some time out with injuries, and they did not have a player who can pass well and also score goals from that attacking midfield, and
yeah,
he fits that mold pretty well, and he's also very so it's like perfect fit for if Guardiola is willing to pay like for Grealish, then I think he will have thought about how he'll play him as well and what he can do to develop him. So and I think regardless of like whether they sign an like Kane or not, I think they are still going to win the league, because for them like defense was their main issue and pretty well last season, and any team challenging City like Chelsea as their like closest challengers, just because they won the Champions League last season and
we beat
should be high on morale, so and
you know, not put that, I'll say my statement later on, but carry on. What were you saying?
I was saying like your manager has the foot wrong so far, so having him be a manager for full season will also be interesting to see.
Yeah,
with Lukaku signing, I think it makes Chelsea even stronger than last season, and I think
they don't talk their position yet though, but I mean I guess you've already told me the second place, but I guess I'll go my first choice was also Man City for the same reason you mentioned. I think even though they don't have a striker, with striker it would have been like even more certain. Like maybe if they get Kane would have, like just shut the shop. But we know football doesn't work that way, but at least on the outside, on paper, it looks like that. Their team doesn't look like they have any flaws. Like in midfield, they have Gundogan, who also scores goals. Rodri looks like he's coming up, like becoming a good player for City. They're Grealish. So I feel like they're a safe, but also a very obvious choice for the being champions. So for the second place, I guess from your talk, I'm guessing you're picking Chelsea for second.
So it's your turn, right? So
okay, I'll pick Chelsea then. But also, based on the how we played against Man City last season, I feel like second is a good prediction to have for Chelsea. Signing Lukaku was a really good thing that we did. Someone to finish the chances that we create. Like I was reading a stat somewhere that in terms of expected or chances created, I think we are very top. We are second or third on the table behind Man City, I think. But actual finishing was we were like second last or in the bottom half of the table. So which is really bad for a top team. We somehow managed to get top four, which is good. But hopefully this season with Lukaku, we'll have someone to finish off the chances. And defensive wise, we were looking good last season with Rudiger. I feel like people didn't give him credit, but he was one of the best defenders in the league last season. And Thiago Silva, I think, got good stability and calmness in the defense. And Edward Mendy, signing him was a really good thing also. He has also brought stability in the beginning. this someone was conceding a lot of long range goals before him. So, yeah, just he's so big, man. He just has the presence in goal. Like, I think he looks in similar vein as Petr Cech, not even Thibaut Courtois in terms of leadership. Like, he shouts mm-hmm. and plays a lot, which I like. So, second was my prediction for Chelsea. What about you?
For second place, yeah, like, I think it is Chelsea. If I have to go something different, I would put Liverpool just because of the...
I'm laughing because you'll never put Manchester United. if I give you top 4 choices, you'll give Manchester United the fourth choice.
That's right. I will put them fourth, that is for sure.
So I already
but,
know.
But I have my reasons for it.
Yes.
So.
Carry on.
Yeah, with Liverpool, I think last season, I think they were affected by like Van Dijk's injury by like
injury
a lot
all
because.
Over the place, basically. Not just Van Dijk.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, at one point, like they had like no centre backs to play with.
Yeah.
And pretty much, I think Fabinho and Henderson played their like centre back position for quite a while, and
Henderson got injured,
and they signed like Kabak, and there's someone else that they signed last season on loan, like really young centre backs to play in the Premier League, and it's like
Nathaniel or something is his name or something. But
like, yeah, but it was funny that like, they were like signing some young players to put in to play like as starting center backs in the league, and so really like felt like they threw their season off last time because of injuries, and I think they will come back pretty strongly this season because they've had that like season of rest, you would say, like, you know, when like Salah was like not performing to his best, Mane was not that great, Firmino was like not up to his best, so I think like they've had that period of relaxation, and just like that will give them more motivation for next season, and we already know like Liverpool on their like good days can really go on for a run and play their like say like gegenpressing attacking football that will mesmerize fans again, and we'll have fans in the stadium too, and they lost like a lot of home games last season, and
yeah. Liverpool is a good stadium for if fans are there, like for their team and yeah, Nathaniel Phillips was the guy I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, and they have signed Konate also,
right, so now they have like a capable center back to play alongside Van Dijk, and also like one more high quality center back. I think their striking position might be like something to worry about because Firmino didn't have like a great last season, and I'm not sure.
Maybe Jota plays well, then they'll have
Jota's signing was pretty good for them last season. He bailed them out in a couple of games, or more than a couple of games. But he was signed in January, so he'll also have like a full season with them. And you have still like Mane and Salah who can and like score goals every week pretty much.
So wait, you said so you're predicting Chelsea second and Liverpool third, right? For that.
Yeah, I mean, I would also like, I mean, I would also put them for second position if we want to be if we want something different or like
okay,
a different
okay,
prediction.
Okay.
So,
okay, I think my third, my third is Manchester United. on paper, like we said, for Man City and Chelsea also, they based on their signings that they have. They should be challenging for the title. There's no way about it. Like, there are no excuses for not challenging. Like, they have Sancho. They signed Varane. They needed someone in defense and alongside Maguire. And Maguire and Varane look like a really good partnership on paper, at least.
Yep.
Who else? They seemed like they have kept Pogba I know there was a talk of Pogba leaving maybe, but he's there yet still. So
yeah, I think only weakness for them that will prevent them, and that's why I have them for fourth, is because of their central midfield.
Yeah.
It's not as strong as other three teams we're talking about. Like,
yes.
They still have Matic and I think McTominay. And if Pogba plays as that CDM, but I don't think he's like a real CDM. So they have that weakness in their squad. And that's the reason like I put them for fourth, because I think Liverpool, Chelsea, and Man City, all three teams have like better midfields.
I would
than
say our midfield is on par with the best, like with mm-hmm. Man City. Our midfield is
yep.
really strong.
Yeah, and like they say, right, like games are like won and lost in midfield, and if you are like not that strong in that department, then it's really hard to challenge for the title. And considering what other clubs have in those positions, I think that's why like I put them fourth. And other, I mean, squad wise, definitely I think Sancho and Varane are like amazing signings, and they bolster the parts where they want to like strengthen. They did not have pretty much like any right winger, and that affected their play style.
I think they had Dan James or sometimes they played Greenwood there, but with Sancho, maybe they'll have Greenwood in the center, like maybe as a substitute for Cavani, or him starting and then Cavani as backup.
Yeah.
At least their attack looks very exciting, and even last season they were scoring lots of goals in some matches.
Mm-hmm.
I know Fernandes doesn't perform in big games, I would like to tell everyone.
So,
I don't know, well, Fernandes is a good player, but I don't like him.
I mean, he's a Manchester United player.
He got lots of penalties that he didn't deserve, but he'll be in my fantasy team anyway, though, because he's okay, I think so. We did our top four then.
There was one point I wanted to mention. I think it was about United, but I lost that.
Was it like the positions they are missing players in, or what was it related to? Maybe I can.
Yeah, I think it was just about like challenging for the title and what you need in your squad, and there are still some question marks about Ole. with the transfer window that they've had, I think he will not have anything to like say against. I guess like he could say that they did not have a good midfield, but if they sign a midfielder within the close of the window, then I might not put them at fourth, and maybe like I'll move them to third. But right now, if they don't say that again,
you are not putting them.
Imagine like they get something, they're rumored to be like in the market for Kamavinga or someone like a true CDM or something.
Coming,
so
though. I think they Kamavinga's club confirmed that he is not coming. So
okay, that's good. Yeah, but like they're going after some good players. So if they're able to sign that caliber of player at CDM, then I think I might put them third. But right now, the way things are,
isn't it strange how things work out? Like with these clubs, like. Every time you think like some club has everything to win the league, but there's always one missing piece.
Yeah.
In every prediction you see this. Every club has one missing piece, but that missing piece never happens.
Yeah, we've been through a lot being Arsenal fans. It's like always one or two signings away. No, right now we do have lots, but before there used to be a time like every season we'll say like, man, we're just like one signing away. This is like just two signings away. I will challenge for the title, but that challenge never came.
Yeah.
And now like we're several positions away. So,
that was a good talk though. I think we covered a lot. Maybe to finish off, we can talk about some of the most exciting or surprising team you think could be this season. I don't know if you have followed the promoted teams.
Do you only want from promoted teams? From any teams, I would say Leeds, just because they had like crazy season last time. and I think everyone knew that they'll be safe by like quite a margin in the Premier League, and they did that. And I'll be like interested in seeing what they do this season. And I think they might be like a surprise team for this season, like something like what Aston Villa did or what West Ham did last season.
Yeah, I think Aston Villa would have been mine if Grealish had stayed. Because they have some, they have made really good signings, I feel.
Like. Yeah.
They got Danny Ings, who already scored a goal in the preseason game, I saw. Buendia, who looked good the last time Norwich were in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So he's a good player. Emiliano Martinez, that Arsenal sold to. I don't know why, but.
Yeah.
So my pick would be. Let's see. Hard. I think you made a good choice there. Maybe I'll pick Aston Villa again. Like even without Grealish, I feel like they'll have, because they also signed Leon Bailey,
who's yeah.
like an exciting player. I feel like overall their transfer business has been good, and I just have a little sympathy for them also. I think they have been very open in the transfer market. I don't know, did you see the message that their CEO made on Twitter?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it was very, very nice.
Offer, right? Like they explained, he explained in detail like mm-hmm. what was their thinking behind selling Grealish and how they.
Yeah, yeah, I think like yeah, they.
No Daily Mirror or something.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean they're acting pretty well in the market too. Like they even before like selling Grealish, they had their plan for the window, and
yeah,
I think. Selling Grealish was just like a step that they knew that they would be taking, and they had like bolstered their squad after him, like yeah. Leon Bailey, Buendia, who will be like sort of like for like replacement for
yeah.
for Grealish, and yeah, their Ollie Watkins did pretty well last season as well as a striker, and they have Danny Ings now. So yeah, overall I think it's pretty. Yeah. Pretty good window for Aston Villa, and they may sign someone else as well, but it remains to be seen. But even without that, I think they have a pretty good squad, and they did play like good brand of football last season, and it was they were entertaining to watch, and so I think if that continues, then
I think my other choice was West Ham, because they have also looked really good in preseason.
Are they keeping Lingard?
I think Lingard
the best young player around.
Fantasy website Lingard is still with Man U, so.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that though, very strangely, because I remember last year's prediction we had West Ham being relegated, but that was way off. We were way off in the prediction.
Yeah, Moyes was at it.
Moyes magic. Yeah. But. Yeah, now that we have predicted, watch everything go wrong and something else. Because that's football. So I think that was a good chat.
Yep.
To talk about.
No, I mean I wanted to.
This is your platform.
Say like wanted to talk about like you know, like player of the season and. Like top scorer and most assists, most goals, and player of the season, I guess.
Okay, player of the season, I'll pick regrettably. Fernandes is a good choice, it's very hard, man. Now, okay. Do you have one in your mind?
For player of the season, I think it's like it's always Kevin De Bruyne. If he's fit, there's hardly like a player that can match him. I think Kane should have won last season. He had a pretty good season throughout in terms of like goals and assists. So I would say either Kevin De Bruyne or Harry Kane.
Think
Harry Kane only if he goes to City though, if he stays at Spurs. Yeah.
Wait, so the pick one then? I don't know ifs and
so. Kevin De Bruyne, and if Kane goes to City, then Kane.
No, not if. Just pick one.
Okay, Kevin De Bruyne it is.
Okay. Okay, I think I'll pick a defender again. Maybe this will be another
You going with Varane?
No. I don't think. Yeah, I'm sure he'll get injured some time. But he might be. So I'll pick a City defender, I think, again.
Ruben Dias?
Yeah, I'll pick. Has anyone. I'm thinking, like, I don't think many players have won two
consecutive. I think, yeah, Van Dijk won.
Van Dijk won twice?
No, I thought, like, you're talking about, like, defender winning it. So.
Because Dias won, right, last season.
Was it Diaz or Kevin De Bruyne? I'm not sure, but
I'm sure it was Diaz.
It was Man City player for sure.
I think maybe I'll pick a Liverpool player. I think they have some fire in them to come back in this season. So I'll pick Salah to be
Nice. Yeah, good choice. I think he was under the radar last season. He did score a lot of goals still then, but you can hardly remember him having like best games or like individual performances like he had the season before.
Yeah, I know that he'll be out for a few weeks because of African Cup, but I think that will not. It's he'll still score lots of goals. So I'll pick him. And what was your other?
Top assists, top goals.
Top goals, I'll pick Salah again because I picked him player. I think he's the best player of the season because of scoring goals. And assist maker, I want to avoid picking De Bruyne. I think he is reaching that stage in his life, even though he'll play really well when he plays, but he'll get injured, I feel like. So,
okay.
Assist maker, I'll pick. You have anyone?
For assists, no, I'm still thinking to put. I want to go like a little bit on the extreme side, so trying to avoid more obvious ones, because I did go with Kevin De Bruyne, who was like the most obvious one for player of the season contention.
Okay, you can pick Danny for goals.
I think Buendia, maybe if Aston Villa has a similar season like last season.
No, if again, please.
No, I'm just like...
Okay. Giving options.
Thinking out loud, yeah. Giving options, some good camps around. Hakim Ziyech is there at Chelsea.
Yeah.
He has not contributed in terms of like goals and assists as much as yet. So, but yeah, seeing him injured already, not like too hopeful.
Avoiding picking any Chelsea player. I have this thing, you know about it. I don't pick any Chelsea for my fantasy team also.
Bruno Fernandes might be like a good shout as well.
Yeah.
But he scores more, I guess, I feel like, than assisting. Just like usually like there is a standard United penalty every game.
Yeah. Refs are biased.
So he could be an option. Grealish, if he is like their main attacking cam like player, then could also be like amongst the assists, because already with Aston Villa, I think he was third or fourth in like assist chart, and he was injured for the most part of the season.
I
think Madison is also one of the players who is always among assists. We don't have Christian Eriksen, because otherwise like he's usually like amongst the top assist makers as well.
Madison, Buendia is a good choice. Also, Grealish is a good option. Maybe Todd Cantwell, good for Norwich. He is a good assist maker, right?
Yeah.
I'm not picking him for the he does.
Yeah, he is like, he's that player who contributes more than his like overall how they affect games. I think there's just some players who have that sort of like knack to always be amongst goals for assists, even though like they did not have like a great game.
I'll pick Fernandes for assist.
Yeah, I think I'll go with Grealish, just to be something different, and for him being like £100 million player, I think he'll play more for Man City, and hopefully in more attacking areas. See that?
He'll sit on City's bench. Guardiola,
I'm never sure. Yeah. Or he could start as a false nine, just in front of Kevin De Bruyne, and like, we don't have any striker, but we have Grealish.
I think he picks Ferran Torres sometimes in that position.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sterling on one side and Mahrez on the other. But Sterling's situation is stranger in City. But I think he was complaining about his play time during the Euros.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a good podcast. Anything else? I think I covered most of the topics I wanted to cover.
Yeah, I think it was good. We're also closing in on 1 hour mark, so
yes,
that's perfect.
Good talking, good coming back on this podcast after a long time. And now my job is to edit it. Which I like doing. So thanks guys, thanks for listening. Thanks Akshay for joining.
Thanks Varun, it was good to talk and hopefully we do more of these.
Yes. Before we go, like, what should people be doing?
People should still subscribe, like our Facebook page, and I think we do also like on all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. We are everywhere. Put some comments in.
Yeah.
And I think that'll act as a motivation for us to continue doing these.
And find us at
2 Substitutes. 2 with
classic
line. 2 with a word, not number.
Exactly. Yes. Good, good, good. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. And have a good week.
Cool.
As they combine to get Chelsea a third, Chelsea in the home straight in the Premier League title race.